Hey there, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome back to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. Got a little sidetracked there for a couple weeks with some stuff, but I'm back with my five-part series on the what I call the five essential elements of an off-season training program. There's basically five things that you need to make sure that you have in your program if you want to make sure that you're going to have the best season possible next riding season. So those things include flexibility, strength, speed, endurance, and skills. And so the first two podcasts, I went over flexibility and strength. And so now I'm starting to get into speed training. Now, speed training is, it's a really interesting subject in my mind when it comes to mountain biking. Because again, I know I've mentioned this many times, but you know, I have coming from a track background, I just look at things a little bit differently than your traditionally trained cycling coach. And so for me, speed training was a big part of what we did on the track. And it didn't matter what distance you ran, you did some speed training, and there was a lot of advantages to that. And then fast forward to when I get into mountain biking, and I see that there's not really a whole lot of like true speed training. And again, I'll get into like what that is here in a little bit, and you'll understand like why I say that. But I mean, just for a quick example, you know, in my ultimate MTB workout program, during some of the early phases, I have people doing some speed training, which has them doing sprints of 8 to 10 seconds. And people are like, man, I can't work hard enough in 8 to 10 seconds. I need a longer interval. And what that tells me is that they lack that ability to tap into 100% that speed training teaches you. And it's a very important and vital skill. And so anyway, so getting into it here, like I said, like most sports have some sort of speed training aspect where they focus on the ability to quickly produce power in the shortest amount of time possible. Again, on the track, you know, you think about football or soccer, baseball. I mean, just about every sport out there has some sort of dedicated speed training going on. If you're working even like, you know, BMX and stuff, the gait starts could be looked at as speed training. And so, but this is something that a lot of mountain bikers, unless they have a BMX background or, you know, race dual slalom or four cross, they don't really do things like that. And so it's a very important skill. It's basically the ability to recruit as many muscle fibers as possible while also maintaining the most efficient postures and movements patterns possible. And so it all ties back to the first two things that I was talking about. Remember, flexibility is going to give us the ability to move freely and create the most efficient movement patterns and maintain the posture that we need while moving. And then strength training is going to teach us how to produce more tension within those postures and within those movement patterns, and how to maintain our movement while we're doing that. And now power, we're just moving up the ladder one more notch. And so now we're looking at how quickly can we recruit those muscle fibers, and how much force can we put behind that as quickly as possible while also maintaining those postures and movement patterns. Again, you may have a little bit of breakdown at each level. You know, you may not move as perfectly when you're doing strength training as you do if you're just doing like body weight movement based stuff. And you may not move as perfectly when you do your power training as you do your strength training. So you may have a little bit of a drop off, but your goal is to minimize that drop off. And so that's why the higher movement you have, the stronger you are, the better you're going to be able to maintain these postures and movements when you start working on the speed training aspect of riding. So again, like I said, it's this ability to tap into 100%, because that's what speed training is about. It's not about your ability to see how long you can go or how many intervals you can do. It really boils down to, what is 100% for you? Like, how quickly can you, you know, get as much power, and how much power can you put behind it as quickly as possible? It's all about quickness. And so that requires the ability to truly tap into 100%. You think about a 100-meter sprinter versus a marathon runner. The 100-meter sprinter is truly tapping into closer to 100% of their muscle's ability to produce that power that they need to run quickly compared to a marathon runner who's not producing anywhere near that much power. So again, both are working hard, but it's a different aspect. You know, the speed is a different skill than the endurance. And so that's what happens is if you don't have this skill, you can't tap in 100% efficiently. Well, there are times on the trail where you're going to be asked to tap into 100 or close to 100%. And if you don't have that ability, one, you won't be able to do it. And two, on those occasions that you are able to gut your way through it, you're going to overly tax yourself. You're going to waste a lot of energy when you try to do that on the trail. In fact, this is one of the things I think a lot of riders miss, is that the endurance that they lack is usually not the slow speed, long, slow distance type endurance. It's this, you know, speed, the ability to recruit, be strong and quickly recruit their muscles and produce force and power and do it in an efficient manner possible, because when asked to do that, they waste so much energy that it taxes everything else. And so later on in the ride, you're sitting there and you're riding and you're feeling like, man, you know, just sitting here pedaling, I'm, you know, done. I need to work on my pedaling. And it's like, well, if you look back on your ride and what led you to that point, it's usually those efforts, those high tension efforts that I talk about. And those are all the foundation of that is your speed training, which is your ability to tap into that 100% and to do it as efficiently as possible. So another thing that speed training does for us is a lot like strength training. Something I mentioned in the strength training podcast was that it makes more muscle fibers available to us for endurance. And so again, kind of one of the things that they've found with running, and it works with all, you know, kind of cyclical endurance sports, is that you cycle through the muscle fibers, that you're not always using the same muscle fibers while you're working. And so the more muscle fibers that you have available to pull from and have work, then the better, the more endurance you're going to have. And so again, like strength training, speed training is going to tap into more muscle fibers and have them available for us to use for the lower effort, more endurance type stuff. And so, but again, if we're not doing the speed training and we're not teaching our body how to recruit those muscle fibers in the specific postures and patterns we need on the bike, then they're not going to be there for us for the longer, slow endurance stuff. And so it's going to affect our endurance if we're not doing the speed training. So the, another thing that it does, it reinforces proper posture and movement habits. And so speed increases the stress on the system, and stress on the system will magnify the cracks in the system. And so a lot of times there's cracks in the system. There's, you know, bad postural habits, bad movement, bad recruitment patterns, you know, bad, you know, something's not the way that it needs to be as efficient as possible, but it's slower speeds and lower efforts. They don't show up as much, and they're not they're not as big of a deal in the short term. And so you don't notice them as much. Whereas when you do, again, this true speed training, where you're working on this ability to tap into 100%, then it really reinforces these good postural habits, these good recruitment patterns, because these cracks in the system are being magnified, and you're going to know what they are, and the body is going to actually, it's one of these self-limiting things that the body loves. You know, when you put it in situations like that, it gives it a chance to learn how to move better. And so if you just do it and it feels awkward and it feels crazy and you just keep working on it and your body gets more efficient at doing it, that's, again, part of the point. Now you're going to move more efficiently at lower efforts and lower speeds as well. So again, it all kind of ties back to, how we're going to, you know, move on the bike in all of our efforts. And so speed training is going to really help with all of our efforts on the bike, from the highest level efforts to the lowest level efforts. And so again, just another tool in our toolbox to help us with all of that stuff. So hopefully I've convinced you that speed training is important and that it has a lot of good benefits for you as a mountain biker. So let's get into what it is, and then we'll get into exactly how you can use it as a rider. So most people think of fast movements when they think of speed training, and that's usually true. So, You know, you think of the rider spinning at like, quickly getting up to, 120, 130, 140. I mean, we see these guys that can push like 200 RPM or something on their bikes. And so very fast movements, or in the gym as well. We can work on speed in the gym with, jumps and medicine ball throws and things like that. So again, plyometrics is basically a form of speed training, because speed and power are closely related, which I'll talk about here in a second. But you can also work on speed though by trying to move a heavy load quickly. And so again, this is something else that they've found, is that it's not just moving a light load fast. You can move a heavy load and it can be moving slowly, but if you're consciously trying to move it as fast as possible, then you will see the same type of recruitment patterns, the same type of speed and power benefits that that you would get. Again, a little different from a specificity standpoint. Obviously, they're going to be different. But the point is that moving a heavy load quickly also results in improved power and speed. And so this is really important for us as mountain bikers, again, because a lot of trail riding takes place below 80 RPMs. And so if you think about, you're trying to, sprint or grind through a higher gear, and you're coming through a corner, and maybe you blew a little too much speed, and now you got to sprint out of that corner to get back up to speed, and you're usually not spinning at 100 RPM, 110, 120 RPMs in those instances. Usually you have a little bit of tension on the pedals, and so that ability to quickly recruit your muscles against that resistance is also an extremely important skill for you to work on. And so it's not just the what we think of as the quick movements as speed training. It's also slower grind movements being done, or we're trying to do them quickly. And so, again, it's just a different aspect of speed that we need to make sure that we're working on as riders. So, with that in mind, speed can be trained both on the bike and in the gym. And so, if we're talking about the specificity continuum, obviously on the bike is going to be the most specific speed training that you can do. But you can do general speed and power training as well that will help you on the bike. And so exercises like the kettlebell swing, the dumbbell cheek curl, the push press, those are all great exercises for you to use to work on your power and speed, and they're especially useful for working on that high tension speed that I was talking about, that ability to quickly try to recruit your muscles and move a relatively heavy resistance. Again, something that we need on the bike, and that we can, train, the general skills that we need for that through power exercises in the gym. So just another reason that, we need to get in the gym and be using exercises like that, because it'll help us with this high tension speed that we need on the bike. So while I'm, talking about power training and speed training, I'm kind of, here's power training and speed training are different, because speed training is going to be specific to your sport, whereas power training can be a little more general in its application. And so power is the ability to quickly recruit your muscle fibers. Speed is your ability to do that within the context of your sport. And so, you can have a lot of power in the gym, or just kind of like general power, but that ability to specifically apply it to the bike and the situations that we need on the bike. So again, those high tension kind of grind efforts are a huge reality for us on the trail, but again, not something that a lot of people spend a lot of time training, much less doing like speed training type stuff for. But that's kind of where people that have done programs that include things like kettlebell swings, and the dumbbell cheek curl and the push press, and a lot of exercises like I use in my Ultimate MTB workout program, and then you find out you get on the bike and you're able to more easily recruit those muscles and put it behind your high tension efforts on the bike. And so all of a sudden you're able to sprint out of those corners faster. Plus it doesn't require as much effort to do. So, getting sprinting uphill, so, technical features, stuff like that, all that ties into that. So, so power is a huge part of speed, like I said, but there's a difference between just power training in the general sense. And there's also a big difference between speed training and power training as most cyclists think of it, because using a power meter on your bike is known as power training. And so it's kind of, it's a training method that where you're measuring your power and you're using your power output as a way to direct your workouts. But just because you're doing power training doesn't mean that you're doing speed training. So again, you got to make sure that you're actually getting on the bike and trying, and you have to apply this stuff in these situations in order for you to really be getting the benefits of it. So what is speed training? How do we kind of, you know, what do we need to be doing with it as riders? So first thing I want to point out is that speed training and speed endurance training are different and need to be trained differently. And again, this is one of the reasons that most mountain bikers haven't really ever done speed training, is because we're notorious for turning everything into an endurance event. Like, if you're not breathing hard and sweating and panting, you feel like you haven't worked out. And so instead of, you know, doing speed training, which requires a relatively fresh nervous system for maximum muscle recruitment, and so this means you're going to want full recovery, or, you know, really close to full recovery between efforts, you know, most people have a problem, you know, doing that. Again, you know, referring back to, you know, some of the early speed workouts I had people doing in the Ultimate MTB workout program, where, you know, they're doing like 8-second sprints with 60 seconds of rest. And that's like really, I get probably more emails about that workout than anything else, because people just don't, they feel like they're not working hard enough and they're just not getting anything out of doing that. And again, that mentality holds a lot of us back from doing speed training. Like, speed training, true speed training, should not be overly taxing. So you should feel that you're able to put in a really good high level effort with each one. And so what I tell these people is that, well, that, you know, if you can't wear yourself out in 8 to 10 8-second sprints with, you know, 60 seconds rest in between them, then that says something about your inability to tap into 100%. You should be able to do that. And so again, it points to that lack of skill in the speed area that most riders have. And so working on that starts to close that gap, you know, right away. And so your speed training, again, requires, you need to be relatively fresh between your efforts, and they need to be short. Again, like, you know, 8 to 10 max, maybe even less. Again, I encourage people to watch your speed. If your speed's starting to drop off, then we're no longer doing speed training. So, you know, again, make sure that your main, you know, you're keeping up your speed with all of your efforts there. And, you know, so speed endurance training is a little different. Now, that's working on your ability to maintain your speed over, you know, multiple efforts with, you know, shorter rest, or, you know, less than full recovery. And so you're not going to be able to go at 100% if you're doing speed endurance training. It's just it's an impossibility. You're not going to be able to put as much effort into each interval, or, you know, whatever you're doing, however you're measuring it, as you would if you're doing true speed training, where you're resting full complete recovery between each effort. And so the speed endurance stuff, you should also be working on your ability to maintain that quality of speed. So you should be watching your speed or power, or whatever you're, you know, however you're measuring what you're doing, or, you know, how fast you're moving, or, you know, how much effort you're putting into it. You need to be maintaining that. So if you're seeing a drop off, you know, if you're supposed to be doing, you know, 10 intervals, and you see that by like interval number 6, that your speed's dropping off, your power's dropping off, and you're not able to get it back up in number 7, you need, you know, I tell people, call it quits right there, because again, we're not working on what we want. If you're not maintaining that quality of effort, we're not working on speed. And so again, that's a different thing. We're starting to work on, you know, something a little bit different. So, so there you go. So I tell people, with my programs, and what I encourage people to do is to start working on improving your speed in the early off season, and then work on your speed endurance closer to the riding season. Now, this is a little different. And again, this is not, this is, This is speed, which I'm going to talk about here in a second, which is a very small part, but still a very important part of your program. This is not your endurance training. We're going to go over that in the next podcast where I talk about the cardio training and the endurance and like the, you know, that there. So this is not what I'm talking about. And again, this get even like speed endurance training, it starts to blur that line, but I'm still talking about the quality, maximum recruitment. It's a little bit different. Speed is a little bit different. Well, it's very different than endurance. So anyways, I just wanted to point that out that when I give this advice, this is not like a cardio training. This is specifically related to the speed training aspect of your program. So again, it's a little different because a lot of times people will work on the endurance side and then work on trying to increase the intensity and the speed closer to the season. And I've personally found, like I said, that what works better is to work on increasing the quality of your effort first. And then once you have a good high quality effort, now you can start working on sustaining that good high quality effort longer, rather than just working on your ability to go longer and then trying to work on improving the quality of that effort later on. It's like, I want high quality right off the bat. Quality is the first thing that you need to be working on, and then your ability to maintain that quality comes after that. So that's why I recommend that. So a couple tips with this. Speed training, it's going to be relative to the distance you usually ride. So a longer, you know, someone who participates in, you know, 24-hour races and 100 milers, you know, for them, speed training is going to be different than a downhiller. So, but in general, anything over 60 seconds isn't really speed training. And even then, that's, you know, a 60-second interval. Like I would cut it off more at like 20, maybe 30 seconds. But again, if we're trying to talk about like the whole spectrum of riders, you know, like I said, a marathon rider, you know, 100-miler, 24-hour guy, someone who's just doing these extreme distances and stuff, for them, like, you know, while every rider needs to be spending some time working on those high-intensity intervals of like 10 seconds or less, you know, for someone who's doing those longer distances, you know, a 60-second interval could count as speed training. So I'm just trying to, like, you know, again, try and, you know, give you some basic advice that'll you know, include everybody out there. But for most people listening to this, for the cross country racer on, you know, down as far as time wise goes, you're looking at like 20 seconds. I would consider anything over 20 seconds, 20 to 30 seconds, is getting outside of speed training for you and is getting more into endurance training. So again, very short, very high intensity efforts, keeping the rest long enough to recover. You definitely should not still be panting. Like you should have stopped panting and then rested a little bit longer, and then you're ready to go. So you should almost feel like, again, you're not trying to rest so long that you get cold. You know, I'm not talking like 5-10 minutes here, although, you know, some people may need that long depending upon the individual. But relatively speaking, you're just looking to stop panting, rest a little bit longer, and then go. And again, you got to keep the reps short. So, you know, 6, 8, maybe 10 reps. Again, you're looking for the highest quality effort you can get. And if you see that starting to drop off, then it's not speed training anymore, and you should, you know, stop doing it. So, so those are some, like I said, some basic, things to think about. Now, unless you're a four cross or dual slalom rider, then speed training shouldn't be a big part of your program. It should be a very small part of it. Maybe 1 to 2 days a week for 8 to 12 weeks of your off season, and then maybe throwing in a session every week or two during the season. And again, these sessions should be short. They shouldn't be overly taxing. They should be working on, you know, high quality efforts. And but the thing is it's a very important part of your program. So as you can see, it's compared to your flexibility and your strength and your endurance and you're getting out on the trail and working on, you know, that stuff, like speed training is going to be a very, very, very small part of your program. But like I said, it's an important part of your training program. And without good speed training in your program, you will have a gap in your fitness. And that gap in your fitness will start to affect everything else. So like I was talking about earlier, that ability to tap into 100% and do it efficiently is going to improve your ability on the trail, your overall endurance, because when you're faced with situations like that, you're not going to waste as much energy. So later on in the ride, you have more energy to put into other efforts. You're not blowing through energy as quickly with these inefficient efforts that the trail is going to demand of you. You can't get around these 100% efforts. You are going to have to grind up a technical climb. You are going to blow speed in a corner and have to sprint out of it. You are going to, you know, you're not going to be able to spin 120 RPM sitting down the entire trail ride. So when you get confronted with these situations, speed training is going to help give you the foundation that you need to be able to efficiently and effectively face them and be able to do it with some style and not waste a lot of energy. So that's basically it. That covers speed training. Again, like I said, in my mind, it's a pretty interesting subject for mountain biking because it's not the same thing as endurance training. Like I said, endurance training is different. That's what we'll get into in the next podcast. Speed training is literally that. It's that ability to improve your speed, that ability to tap into 100% as quickly and efficiently as possible that we're trying to work on. And so again, like I said, very important skill for us to have on the trail and something you need to make sure is in your program. So there you have it. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this podcast, giving you some fuel for thought, some things to think about, and go back and look at your off-season training program and see if you've got this covered in there. And if not, then hopefully you got some tips, some things that'll let you add some of that in there. So again, you know, my whole goal is just trying to help you guys have as much fun as possible on the trail and get faster and riding with more confidence and more endurance. I mean, that's really what it's all about. So that's it. Does it for this podcast. Once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. Please check me out on the web at bikejames.com. You can post any questions or comments you have about this podcast there at the blog post for this podcast. And you can also sign up. I've got a bunch of free resources, a free intro to kettlebell training program, a free 30-day skills and fitness program, all sorts of great free resources that you can come and check out and sign up for and learn more about how this stuff can help improve your mountain biking. So that does it for now, and I will talk to you guys next time.